way through. Praise your way through. Praise your way through. You got a praise on the inside of you. Why don't you give it to him? Praise your way through. Take it back home with you. Give him what you came to give. What an awesome God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What an awesome God we serve. Certainly we give God praise and thanks for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place. Again, it's good to be alive. It's good to be alert and active. It is in Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. He has blessed us beyond enumeration, and certainly we ought to be glad about it. Look at somebody and point to them and tell them, you bless. Come on, give them that smile now that you don't have the mask on your face. Tell them you're blessed and smile at them. Amen. Come on, look at somebody. Y'all looking at me, you can't be looking at somebody else. Amen. Look at them and point to them with that Baptist finger and say, you bless. Amen. Amen. You bless. You bless. Amen. I see the earth just fanning somebody shouting. You need to fan some of these folks sitting still. Amen. Amen. Blow a little wind on them. Hope they'll catch on fire. All of this praise and worship going on. And if you are not at the point of shouting now, amen. I don't know what's going to do it for you. Amen. Certainly we thank God for these preachers, Pastor Meadows Walker, Reverend Woods, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims. Thank God for deacon wives, trusty wives, my wife. We have so devoted us to worship. We thank God for the choir. And they sang so melodious and blessed us in song. Thank God for Brother Eric. He got a new name. He's in Mississippi. They called him Smooth. And certainly we thank God for you all on last week blessing us in song as we preach in Mississippi. And thank God for all of you that traveled to Mississippi. I looked up and saw Mother Walker. I said, Mother Walker, you came well over here. And she was in the house. So thank God for Mother Walker. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for your spirit. Thank God for your prayers. Certainly on last Sunday, on Tuesday, we preached at the minister's council, and I felt your prayers. And then all last week, and then, you know, this week we have started already with our Lent devotion. If you haven't tapped in already, I want to encourage you to get up 6 in the morning, get on Zoom line with us. We are studying through the Lent season. We are praying. We are trying to be fit for Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. That I think we have played it down over the years. And it's time for us to give it the attention that it deserves, the praise. Amen. The energy that it deserves. Because Resurrection Sunday is the summit of our faith. Amen. It's the foundation of our salvation. So 6 o'clock every morning until Resurrection Sunday. Zoom. If you don't have the credentials, see Sister Pinky, and she can get you the credentials so that you can get on and share that moment with us. Listen, God has called Brunzella from labor to reward. And what a soul she was among us. Amen. Amen. And we thank God and we pray for her family. And they will have a memorial service on Wednesday of this week. And then planning to ship her body here, where a service will be on the 1st of April. So fix your calendars or your schedules to be here. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Give me a little more volume. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. As you're turning, listen, we had a wonderful time on yesterday with the singles ministry. We went bowling. And I felt like I was the ball. And the things I used to do, I can't do no more. Amen. So, but we had a wonderful time. And listen, if you're single and you want to be a part of a ministry, make sure you involve yourself with the singles ministry. Amen. Sister Teresa and her mother, they're here from Starkville. Y'all wave your hands. Amen. Good to see you. They were with us on yesterday, and we thank God for their presence. Thank God for all of our guests. We pray that something is said and done that will have a profound impact upon your life, that your life never be the same, in Jesus' name. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, the pneuma of fear, but the spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of a sound mind. Amen. I want to talk about spirit of power. Since we're talking about operating under the authority and power of God, I would that we know that God has given us the spirit of power. The spirit of power. Paul writes this letter from prison in Rome. He's awaiting sentences, and the sentence is a sentence of death. As he was awaiting death, he wrote his son in the ministry, Timothy, to encourage him. He wanted Timothy to know that God is to be trusted. God, he gives us what we need, what is needful to accomplish the assignment. For Timothy was in a tough place. He was in a tough position. But being in a tough position, he needed encouraging from his father in ministry. Paul himself, being in a tough and trying place, he did not grumble. He did not whine or complain. He didn't complain about Christ. He didn't complain about the church. He didn't complain about the conditions of the prison. He wrote Timothy with trust in God. Yes. Verse 2. Yes, sir. Paul trusts that God's grace, mercy, and peace would be with Timothy during his trials.
That's right.
Not only did Paul express trust in God, during his time of trial, but in verses 3 through 5, he gave thanks to God while going through his trials. For some people, they are sealed at the lips while things are tough and trying.
That's right. That's right.
But Paul didn't wait until his troubles were over. He was able to praise God in the midst of his trials. He was thankful for his own personal service unto God. He was thankful for Timothy's faith in God, and he was thankful for Timothy's grandmother and mother's faith in God. Oh, he knew that Timothy needed to stir up the gift of God. I think you ought to encourage somebody by looking at them and telling them to stir up the gift of God. Stir up. Don't just let it set. You need to stir up. You need to encourage. You need to be motivated by the gift of God. He says, Timothy, stir up the gift. Don't you let what's happening to you. Don't you let what's happening around you. Don't you let what's said about you cause you to forsake the gift. You need to stir it up.
That's right. That's right.
For Paul knew Timothy feared. And fear will make you timid.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when you fear a thing, you don't go at it as you should.
That's right. That's right.
You have apprehension. You have caution.
Yeah.
You're afraid. But he says to Timothy, he says that God has given you power for the assignment. He has given you a spiritual endowment to minister in life. He has given you the spirit of power. And in saying that, he says, number one, to Timothy, that God has not given you the spirit of fear. If you fear, you got that fear from somebody else or somewhere else. God does not give us a spirit of fear. Spirit. Pneuma in Greek, which means moral qualities or activities. Spirit, pneuma, figuratively means that it is a rational soul. By implication, it is a mental disposition. In other words, God has not given us a mind of fear.
That's right. That's right.
He gives us courage to face every challenge. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear.
That's right.
An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat to our lives.
That's right. That's right.
Fear is caused by the belief.
Yeah.
Not the real thing, but the belief that something bad is going to happen.
Amen. Amen.
Fear. Fear. It's a common emotion that all people have. Fear is something that every human being deals with. If you are saved or not, you fear. But God has not given you the spirit of fear.
That's right.
Because fear, if you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you.
That's right.
It'll paralyze you. It'll render you immobile. Fear will bring you to a standstill. Fear causes you to lose a desire in the ability to move forward. Fear can stop you dead in your tracks.
That's right. That's right.
It's both personal and corporate.
Yeah.
It deals with the individual and the body.
That's right.
Because it's contagious like faith.
Yeah.
You put fear in one corner. And if fear is not dealt with, fear will spread all over the congregation.
That's right.
Fear, he says, is a spirit. He has not given you the mind of fear.
That's right.
See, fear can hinder you as an individual, and fear can hinder and grip the church.
Yeah.
And it renders stagnant. It renders the church to become stationary. According to the text, Paul mentioned fear to Timothy because Timothy feared. He may have given way to the pressures of others. You know, Ephesus was not an easy place to pastor. You had some rough people in Ephesus. And Paul left Timothy there to set things in order and to deal with those hard, contrary people in Ephesus. Just maybe he was given over to the pressure of others. Perhaps he was fearful of the conflict that he encountered in ministry and in the world. But Paul, he spoke and he speaks to the reality of Timothy's fear.
Say that.
And he reminds Timothy of what God didn't give him.
That's right.
Sometimes it's not reminding people of what God gave you. It's reminding people of what God didn't give you.
All right. Say that again.
Oh, it's not always about reminding the people of what God has given. But it's to remind people of what God didn't give you. And some of this stuff we saying God gave us, he didn't give us. Because Paul says he didn't give us the spirit of fear. You know, you can really tell when people start fearing. Because they say things like this: God has given us common sense. And your common sense is what got you in trouble in the first place.
That's right.
You know, we start talking, you know, against God and calling it God all the time. God has not given us the spirit of fear.
That's right.
Psalmist David said, trusting in God preserves believers from fear. In Psalms 27 verse 1, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David chose to set his mind on the Lord instead of his enemies, and he did not have to fear because of his faith in the Lord. That faith in the Lord preserves us from fear. Jesus in John 14, 27 exhorts believers against fear. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know how troublesome fear is? Fear is a silent trouble.
That's right.
It troubles the heart. You ever been afraid of, you ever feared applying for a job? You ever feared approaching someone? That's heart trouble.
That's That's right.
You ever feared dealing with someone?
Yeah.
You ever feared speaking truth?
Yeah.
When you know truth needed to be spoken?
That's right.
You ever fear dealing with a person for who they are?
Yeah.
Instead of bending yourself out of shape to pretend you like them?
Yeah.
Y'all quiet in this house.
That's right.
I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You ever fear you wasn't gonna make it? You wouldn't be accepted. See, all of that grip your heart and cause your heart trouble.
Right.
And Jesus said, I leave peace with you. I give you peace not as the world, because the world gives you pseudo peace. Peace that's based on circumstances and conditions. He says, but the peace I give you, regardless of the circumstances and conditions, it's yours. And you can be settled in the peace, regardless of what's going on to you and with you and around you, because the peace I give is not predicated upon circumstances and conditions.
That's right.
You don't have to be afraid. Your heart don't have to be troubled.
That's right.
He says to Timothy that I want to remind you that God has not given you the spirit of fear.
That's right.
But here it is. God has given you the spirit of power.
Yes.
Look at somebody and tell them, I may look weak, but I'm not weak. Because I have the spirit of power on the inside of me. I got the spirit of power in my mind. I may look weak, but I'm not weak, because he has given me the spirit of power. Not just a spirit of power. But the spirit of power that he raised the Lord up from the dead. I have power. The word power is dunamis, which refers to strength, power, or ability. Dunamis is not just a power. It refers to miraculous power or marvelous works. In other words, the spirit of power is the spirit that makes you able. Boy, I wish y'all felt it like I feel it. It's the spirit that makes you able. Without it, you're not able. With it, you are able. God makes us able. And because God makes us able, I can stick and stay. I can stand, because what I'm going through is not going to defeat me, because he has given me power. He has given me ability to not only face it, but to conquer it. I'm going to make it. Look at somebody and tell them, you're going to make it. You got ability. Don't you worry about this thing conquering you. God has given you ability. You're going to be all right in your marriage. You're going to be all right in your economics. You're going to be all right in your life. You're going to be all right in your family. You're going to be all right in your body. You're going to be all right, because God has given you the ability. Has given us the spirit of power, which makes us able. That the power that he gives is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That the Holy Spirit enables us to serve with power. You Bible readers remember Jesus' words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall open your mouth and be my witnesses. That Satan can't silence you, blackmail you, because he has power and authority over you. The power that you have is power and authority over him. And you don't have to succumb to the threat of Satan. God wants you to open your mouth and be the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 16 and 20 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I'm strong on the inside. As the outer man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed. I'm stronger. I'm getting stronger on the inside. I'm reminded of Caleb after he had conquest the land with Joshua, and being 80 years old, he says, give me the mountain, for I'm stronger now than I have ever been. All that ought to be our witness. Oh, I may be getting older, and my body may be decaying and growing older and weaker on the outside, but on the inside, I'm stronger than I've ever been. Because I have the strength of God on the inside. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let me let you in on a little secret. The power of God is not automatically activated. It requires active cooperation from the recipients. In other words, if you don't stir it up, he has given you the gift of strength. He has made you strong. But if you don't exercise the strength, it's like an athlete. An athlete is strong as an athlete, but you know, naturally they may be strong, but they need to continue lifting weights. They need to continue running to be fast, remain fast. They need to practice in order to maintain their strength. Because what you don't use, you lose. When was the last time you've been to the spiritual gym? Exercising that strength. When was the last time you picked up spiritual weights? When was the last time you've been on the spiritual bike? Exercising those spiritual legs. When was the last time you've been on the spiritual bench press machine? Listen, you got to exercise. You have to operate. You got to activate the strength that God has given you. That is not automatic. You got the authority. You have the permission to use the power. But now, let me tell you, because Paul doesn't just say to Timothy, you have spirit of power. He adds something to it. Because power without love is misappropriated and misused. See, God doesn't give you power to abuse folk. You know how some of us are. You know, if you sure enough knew you had it, boy, you would mistreat everybody around you. Nobody would be your equal. Nobody would be eye level with you. So he attaches to spirit of power a spirit of love, because love makes power act right. Love is the most excellent way. Without it, all we do is vain and fruitless. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, he says, love is greater than hope and faith. That in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it's the foundational aspect of the fruit. In other words, without it, you have no joy and peace, love, long-suffering. You have none of that if you don't have love. So he attaches love to the spirit of power, because love makes power act right. This love he speaks of is affection and benevolence. We should love others and be willing to do for them, to help them, to encourage them, to build them, to advance them. He says he gives us the spirit of power that's accompanied by the spirit of love. I got to quit. He says, but not only love, he gives you a sound mind, which is interpreted self-control. That the power of God deals with you first before it deals with someone else. See, I need God to check me first. Do I have anybody in the house? No, you got some problem. No, you got some issues. Know that you are not all together. Somebody here ought to be a witness. I know you ain't going to say nothing, because you don't want the person beside you to know that you are not perfect. But listen, you got some issues. And you need the power of God to settle you first and to get you straight first before you start dealing with somebody else. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Do I have any witnesses here? Is there anybody here who can thank God for power? It's because of the power of God that you are where you are, and you are the way you are. You may not be all you ought to be, but you thank God that you're not who you used to be. For God has brought you from a long ways back, and he has brought you to this place right now, that you are a better person today than you were on yesterday. And I give God praise, because his power is working on me. Somebody here ought to shout with me, work on me, Lord. Work on me. Look at somebody and tell them, the Lord, he's working on me. I may not be all that I ought to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. A change has been wrought in my life. He has put
power in my heart. He has put love in my heart. He has put self-control on my mind. And the reason I'm not like I used to be, and the reason I'm not quick-tempered like I used to be, the reason I'm not foul at the mouth like I used to be, the reason I'm not rolling my eyes and going off on you like I used to be, is because a change is happening on the inside. High five somebody and tell them, I thank God for the change, but the best is yet to come. If you think I'm something now, watch me for about 2 more years. If you think God has done a work in my life now, watch me for about 6 more months. You ain't saw nothing yet, because the power of God is stirred on the inside of me. Ain't he all right? Oh, my soul is happy, and my mind is made up that I'm going to let the Lord work on me. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for your love in Christ. He came down through 42 generations, landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. He walked the dusty streets of Palestine for 33 and a half long years. He opened the eyes of the blind. He fed hungry multitudes. He opened the ears of the deaf. He made lame men walk. He raised the dead. He did all forms of miracles, and those were miracles with some power. But Friday he went to a hill called Calvary, and he died on the cross. He stayed in the grave Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Let me ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yes, 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 yes. Yeah! The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. The doors. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. While the blood is running warm in your veins. Today you hear my voice, Lord, not your heart. Hear and receive the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, all who believe. Listen, give him your life, that he save your soul. Secondly, if you're here and you are backslidden, he wants to restore. He's as close to you as you want him to be. He says, when you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a faith family, come on. Come on. We will receive you. You can come today by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism.
Yes, Lord.
Come on. As the choir ministers, come on.
Yes.
Come on. Don't you let the devil, don't you let Satan cause you to procrastinate.
Right,
put off today for tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For tomorrow is not promised. Yesterday is already gone.
Right.
You only have today now.
That's why the Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now faith. Come, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Give myself away.
Come on, sing with the choir if you will.
Give myself away.
Come on, the doors.
Oh my, I give myself away. So you can use me. Give myself away.
Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. We're waiting on you. We're praying for you.
I give myself away. So you can.
Listen to him.
Here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I long.
Glory to his name. Come on, come on, come on. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on. Say that to the Lord today.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Mama. In this place, in your presence.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you for making us fearless, powerful. Lord, thank you for making us compassionate and sound in our minds. Lord, we go from this place rehearsing this sermon in our minds. Lord, that it'll govern our thoughts and our steps and our ways. As we go here and there, hither and thither, Lord, we know we're not alone. Lord, we thank you for every soul that is in this place. Every soul that's watching virtually. Lord, bless the sick and shut in. Those that are hospitalized. Lord, help those who are discouraged. Who don't have sense of direction. Lord, now we ask that your grace and mercy, Lord, the love of Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit that all will rest and rule us. In Jesus' name, every heart say amen. Amen. Be blessed.